Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
Kevin Fishbane, Bears beat writer for The Athletic.
The run game, I know a lot goes into it, but some of the stuff that was working weeks one and two, and then, you know, maybe hasn't been there the past few weeks, are those simple things you're able to fix?
We got to make sure that we do our job in handling all that stuff. And like I said, again, I'm going to go back to it. Being 5-1, it's a lot easier to try to fix. And we look at the scheme, we look at the players, we look at everything. We look at how we're practicing, we look at what we're teaching, all that stuff.
A man who reports responsibly.
This is my first radio hit wearing a mask.
What are we rocking?
I think it's actually from The Gap, because I might as well try to be stylish while I got to wear one, right?
Kevin Fishbane.
What's the same if you have 9 tight ends? Do you even have one?
Talking Bears with Dan Bernstein on 670 The Score. The Score.
He's on the beat for The Athletic. Kevin Fishbane is on Twitter at @KFishbane. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. And he's brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, Chicago's hometown sportsbook. You want to get a look at this young man, you can on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. Kevin, how are you?
I'm good, Dan. How are you doing?
I'm good. I want to get your thoughts on why this iteration of a defensive-minded Bears team, why this iteration, as opposed to, say, 2 years ago, or maybe even under Rex Grossman and possibly Kyle Orton, the difference in not having like an up-and-coming draft pick quarterback where it allows you to keep thinking, well, maybe he'll get better, maybe he'll improve, maybe there's growth, maybe there's more to be had. Once you make the turn to Nick Foles, you kind of know what you have. Like, we've got a big body of work here. It takes away that high ceiling aspect of a coach saying, just you wait. And do you think that the Bears and Nagy himself are realizing that in some of how their rhetoric changed so drastically over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, the Panthers game was such an I guess it shouldn't have been eye-opening, Dan, because we kind of have an idea who Nick Foles is, but when you have the extra time to prepare, you open up with that frustration the week before about the details, and then you play a mediocre defense and you do that. That's like, okay, this is who they are. You kind of come to terms with that. Now, that's obviously a tough thing for a coaching staff, who these guys are wired to always think they can find something better. The next three games obviously are such an interesting stretch in this season, because you're playing teams that are going to be tough to hold under 20 points. And you're playing teams that you might need to score 28 or 30 if you want to beat them, regardless of how good your defense is. And that's going to, you know, lead to more questions. But you're right. Nick Foles is your quarterback. He's been in the league since 2012. This is who he is. You know, could you get more out of Cole Kmet? Sure. That's one way to go about it, I guess. Darnell Mooney, there's still things to unlock there. That they still can't really figure out Anthony Miller. So you can go and go through different things and say, well, maybe they can do this, this, and this. But they didn't do any of that against Carolina. And, you know, the Rams are a pretty good defense, and you're on the road. So I think this is going to be a lot of mitigation. This is going to be a lot of managing the game and just making sure you don't screw it up for your defense.
They keep saying the only thing missing is the explosive plays, which is like you buy a car, the only thing missing are the tires. So Allen Robinson says they're coming. Why? Well, because they are. And the offense will be better because the offense will be better. And they have built themselves. I think they believe that. I don't think it's a con. But some of this evangelizing that we're hearing, whether it's Nagy or Foles or this, you know, the belief and the excitement and the we're 5-1 and we know we can get better because we know we can get better, or we're excited about the opportunity because we haven't been better yet. And I think, well, why not? You could have been, but you weren't. And they're basing, it's like optimism for optimism's sake. What do you think Nagy's doing internally? Because I don't think it's for us. It's got to be, this has to be going on in the building.
Yeah, I think you're right. And look, we all know that, you know, Nagy is, I don't know if necessarily he's a player's coach, but they respond to him very well. And they have. You know, I try not to put too much stock into the last 2 months of last season, because look, they were 8-8. They weren't a good team. It was a failure when you don't, it's a failure when you don't make the playoffs when you're built the way they are. But there is, I've been around teams, and Dan, you have too, that have stretches the way the Bears did last year and then just completely fall apart. And last year's team didn't, when they easily could have. So, you know, that speaks to your head coach. And I do think that there is something that he is, you know, it's almost like if you show them you believe, if Nick Foles shows his teammates he believes, maybe there's this weird, oh, it's like the Tinkerbell from Peter Pan. You know, everyone's believing. And again, I don't know if that probably won't translate to 35 points on Monday night against the Rams, but maybe it is this little bit of a mental game that the head coach and quarterback are trying to play with a pretty young, you know, still a lot of young guys on that offense. When you look at a Darnell Mooney and a Cole Kmet and an Anthony Miller and David Montgomery, you know, giving these guys some reason for hope. Look, they should be very happy about being 5-1. They shouldn't apologize for it. It's our job to criticize the things that are going wrong. They might as well enjoy the fact that they can improve while being 5-1. But you're right. You know, the one thing too, Dan, and I talked about this on your guys' airwaves with Zach Zaman last week, they don't have that 8-yard pass that turns into 30. That just doesn't happen with this team. You know, we saw DJ Moore do it last week for Carolina. And like, it doesn't have to be Nick Foles launching the ball 40 yards to Allen Robinson. I mean, it could be just you hit the guy at the right time and there he goes. And this offense just has not shown the propensity to be able to do that.
How many times have we talked about that? And Sage Rosenfels does it every Tuesday, where he'll say, look at this play. Here was the read. Here was the guy. Had they hit this, he had all day to run. You know, a lot of this is after the fact that you say, well, it hasn't happened. We've identified any number of plays where the right recognition or the right change at the line or the right recognition of somebody being hot, the right split. There have been, and maybe that was what caused the details rant, because that's what you're talking about, is you only get a handful of those each game and you just got to be ready for them when they're there.
Yeah, and in Carolina, it was the run game. You know, it was just a few steps here and there, a block here and there, and you could see maybe they had more 7 to 10 yard runs that were available that they just didn't hit. And they probably watched that on tape, and this goes back to the belief conversation. They see that on tape, they say, hey, if you stepped here and got this block here, Montgomery's gone for 15 yards. So they see that, they say, okay, well, we'll just correct that next week against Aaron Donald and company. You know, well, it's that simple. So I do believe, you know, I think that that is part of their process in terms of trying to convince themselves that this is something that can improve, you know, week in and week out. I will say it's interesting, Dan, to watch, because, you know, we do this Nick Foles versus Mitch Trubisky. Maybe this is just me doing it, and this is not obviously, I'm not asking for a quarterback switch, but I found the way the offense is running very interesting. It's completely different, obviously, with Foles in the lineup. This is the Matt Nagy offense. This is throw it as much as you can, and, you know, and then maybe run it here and there. I'm trying to figure out, when Foles has these drives, these sustained drives where he gets in these rhythms, how can you build on that? Are those things that you can have more of in a game? Are those things that when you get inside the 20 and the 10, maybe you get more touchdowns out of those and field goals? Because that's something I think he does do better than Mitch Trubisky, is he's getting these drives where they have four or five first downs. Now, these are 4-yard pass, 6-yard pass, 3-yard run, 8-yard pass. This is, you know, again, it goes back to no explosive plays. But there is something there that you can see. You saw it in the fourth quarter against Tampa. We saw it a couple times in Carolina. Okay, you have these drives with four or five first downs. Can you keep doing that? And you can do that more often in a game so that they can score more points.
How much of it is no huddle? Because there has been some success there, but it just doesn't seem like something Matt Nagy wants to do all that much of.
Which surprises me too, Dan, because Matt Nagy is all about aggressiveness. And when I think of aggressive offense, I think of a no huddle. You put the defense on their heels. You force them. They cannot substitute. And you just go. So I'm surprised that that's not something that's necessarily in his wheelhouse. We saw the low-tempo no-huddle last week in Carolina where, you know, it was fourth quarter, so they're working the clock a little bit, but they're not changing personnel. They're going no-huddle, and that seemed to be productive for them. It was a little bit, what did he call it last year, the sugar huddle, where Mitch Trubisky, they wouldn't huddle, and then they'd stop and kind of do a college thing of look to the sideline, and Matt Nagy would take advantage of the play clock, get a new play in. So there's different things that can operate from there, but if that's something Nick Foles likes, and you look at, again, I go back to the Anthony Miller, Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet, Dave Montgomery. Look where those guys came from. They were just in college 2-3 years ago. They all can handle no huddle stuff. They all can handle moving quickly. It's what college teams do all the time. So you wonder if they can get to that point, if that's something that works for Nick Foles. And I think the Rams are a perfect opportunity, right? Because when you face Aaron Donald, that is one of those things that everything is about keeping him from wrecking the game. And I think the screen game, we talked about this last week, Dan, I don't get why they don't run screens more often, especially when you got someone like Dave Montgomery, who is a natural pass catcher. He's elusive. Why aren't you running the screen more? Why even a tight end screen? You have all these tight ends. Run those. Those are different ways you can kind of keep Aaron Donald back, and the no huddle could also factor in that equation.
Let's talk about that matchup, because a couple of years ago, they did great against Aaron Donald in a nighttime game, similar situation, and Mitch Trubisky was horrible, the offense was horrible, and they just strangled the Rams with their defense. Their starting left guard in that game, I believe, was current NFL free agent Brian Witzman, who, you know, they had pulled off a couch to come in and play for them. And now we've got this possibility of Quentin Spain, who's pretty good when healthy, being released by the Bills, despite having just signed an expensive contract extension. Do you think it's possible that they could look at Quentin Spain? And do you think that Matt Nagy also has proven he's got a pretty good idea of what to do against Aaron Donald?
Yeah, well, I think that they'd be doing themselves a disservice, of course, if they don't look at Quentin Spain. Now, whenever you have a guy like that, Dan, I mean, you know this. If someone is cut at this point in the season, you have to ask yourself why. You got to figure out, okay, why was he not starting in Buffalo? Why was he not even good enough to be a backup? Is there a compensatory pick situation here? I'm not sure the details of that. But, yeah, it would make sense for the Bears to look at him. The thing, though, too, and we had a trade proposal story go up today, and everybody wants a new left guard, and I get it. The problem is that I do think that your run game problems run a lot deeper than left guard. I think there's other guys in the offensive line that aren't pulling their weight, and I think you have a head coach that still is trying to learn cadence and run plays and design and run plays. It's interesting, though, you brought up that Rams game. I went back to watch a little bit of it the other day, and James Daniels was in that game, and he had one of his better games as a rookie. And they were doing different things where Mitch Trubisky was taking a snap, kind of delaying, letting Aaron Donald rush upfield almost behind the quarterback, and then quickly handing to Tariq Cohen or Jordan Howard. All throws were quick throws away from where Aaron Donald was lined up. So you did see some kind of element of understanding, let's keep this guy out. And I do think, again, you mentioned Witzman and Daniels. Those aren't Pro Bowl guys, but they were able to do their job. And, you know, maybe they can do it this week. And I think going back to that Rams game last year in L.A. turned out to be a disaster by the fourth quarter. But Mitch Trubisky was actually making some plays early in that game. That offense was moving, and they'd have some backbreaking. It was an interception, or it was just missed field goals in the game. It was better than the box score. We all remember the injury situation. So I do think that Matt Nagy has found some ways to move the ball against L.A. They just can't score points consistently, which has been, you know, the story of the Bears.
What's the effect of Cairo Santos making a 55-yard field goal as a no-doubter in the way that he did? Does that fundamentally alter the trust level? Does a once-bitten, twice-shy head coach start thinking about this as a more reasonable weapon?
I think it has to. And it goes back to the top of this conversation, which is if your offense cannot get that much better, you have to start rethinking the way you're going to win games. And you got to look back to those Lovie Smith teams. It was special teams. It was return game, field goals, and defense. And if you can just get 40 to 50 yard field goals consistently from somebody, you're not as upset when your offense, you know, can't work. And maybe if it's a 4th and 2 from the 30, while a lot of analytics folks might say, hey, you go for it. While Matt Nagy might say, I'm aggressive, I go for it. Maybe he's like, you know what? I know my guy's going to get me 3 points. I know my defense is going to make a stop. Let's go to this. You know, look, Dan, anything that could help Matt Nagy get over his fear of kickers, I think is probably a good thing the way this team is currently structured, because they're just not built in a way that they can ignore the kicker because they just don't score enough touchdowns, is probably beneficial, because I do think he just needs to find a guy he can trust. And for Santos to nail that 55-yarder the way he did, in the fashion he did at the end of the half, Nick Foles getting him in position, you know, seemed to work out pretty well.
This next stretch of games is so telling, and I'm starting to wonder, as we talk a lot about their internal rhetoric and about Nagy's reputation with his players and how strong it is right now, is there any risk in saying some of this stuff and saying, you know, we're confident, we know we're going to get better, if they don't, does that undermine him? Can he fall down? It's like, wait a second, coach said we were good and we just got our ass kicked. You know, what is the effect of that?
It could happen. I think, you know, it's one of those things, Dan, if we're talking in 5-6 weeks and they're 10-2 and the offense still isn't better, right, I think they're fine. You know, yeah. Like if they keep winning ugly, I think that they're going to, you know, look, it's the old White Sox slogan, right? They're going to find, you know, you know the way these team marketing departments work. In 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to see like a winning ugly billboard somewhere with Khalil Mack on it. You know, they'll probably buy in if they're winning. Now, I think the scenario you lay out, if they're losing these games, then you do have a problem. Then you do have to wonder, you know, are the players rolling their eyes at the head coach when he's doing that? And look, the players, and you know, it goes back to practice, right? A lot of these guys, they see things happen in practice. They say, wow, it works in practice. Why doesn't it work in the games? So that could also give them some kind of fool's gold sense of confidence when the offense just is able to make these plays in practice and not in the games. But yeah, I mean, he could run into that, but I do think that he has this cushion now of a 5-1 record that he can kind of keep doing whatever motivational tactic he has to keep convincing them that things are going to be okay. And you know, I heard you playing those Allen Robinson clips. If you're A-Rob right now, this is just another year in your career where you're putting up ridiculous numbers. Nobody's helping you on offense, and you're part of a terrible passing game. So for him, you know, I'm sure he wants those more explosive plays. He wants to win. But he's doing his thing. He's putting up his stats and is able to say to other teams come free agency, hey, look, if I could do it on this Bears team, I can do it for you guys.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that the Bears don't seem real interested in signing him.
You would think that he could just go up to his own GM's office and say, right, hey, I'm doing this for you. Think about what I could do for you if you actually had a good offense.
Call me old fashioned, you know, like literally, like I mean it. Call me old fashioned. That's my new nickname.
Last thing for you real quick, Kevin, what's the significance of the Vikings trading Yannick Ngakoue to the Ravens?
It's an NFC North team that's done. They are moving on to 2021, and I don't blame them for doing it. And I think that if you're the Bears, you see that, and it's blood in the water, right? That's a team that you have not played yet, and you played twice late in the season. You know, you think like, okay, when you get to those games, you have to win. You have to go 2-0 against the Vikings because they have moved on. They are rebuilding. But the thing about rebuilding the NFL, Dan, as you know, is the players out there aren't rebuilding. They're still going to be trying like heck to win every single game. They're just going to do it with less parts. So those are games that the Bears can't afford to lose now because they have to say, wow, look what the Minnesota's doing. It's one less team we have to worry about, except for the fact that you still got to play them twice. So it's a wake-up call. And I do think the flip side, too, if you're Ryan Pace, and as I mentioned, we wrote about this today, he's made one deadline move as a GM. That was for Dontrell Inman, a classic remember some guys. Dontrell Inman was they acquired for a 7th-round pick in 2017.
Great interview, Dontrell Inman. Really fun really interview. Good.
And he turned into Mitch Trubisky's favorite target quickly that season. You will have to wonder if the GM is going to be aggressive at the deadline. He's never done it before, except for the Inman trade, which was a weird situation. I wonder if he sees these things happening, what Minnesota did, what the Jets have been doing, if he's starting to call the Falcons, some of these other teams, and maybe he does something that we don't really expect just based on his MO.
Kevin Fishbane, thank you as always. We'll talk next week.
All right. Thank you, Dan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.